We're in a series called Windows of Opportunity, and last week our window of opportunity was small group, and we talked about true friends. And a true friend is somebody that just keeps you true. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of rocket science from Pete Coco, okay? You guys show up on Monday night and be like, true friends keep you true. Hey, but it's true, all right? True friends keep you true, and if you really want somebody to keep you focused on what you know is right, get in a small group. That's what that was. Your window of opportunity last week. This week, our window of opportunity is really around this gathering. It's really talking about light, as Willie mentioned a second ago. And what we did is we polled some of our alums, mostly some of our staff alums, and we asked them, hey, what was really important for you? What were some of the biggest and most important things that you got to be a part of? That were opportunities that were provided through Encounter that you took advantage of. And so we're going to go through five of those over the next few weeks. We're going to cover all of them. Tonight's window of opportunity, really, I don't know if I've ever taught specifically about the importance of this meeting, but we're going to talk about that tonight. And in the context of this, Jesus is light, and he wants us to be the light. That's really what our t-shirts have said, that we are selling this year. It's just this idea, be the light. Maybe some of you guys saw on our campus house wall, a number of our students took a thumbprint, and they put their thumbprint in ink, and they stuck it on different parts of this map that we had on the wall that showed where we're going to be the light, where we're going to be life on mission. It's been on our wall. It'll be continue to be on our wall for the next month. We took it off the wall, and we brought it down here, and we laid it out. And so it's here tonight for you later. We're going to do something at the very end with that. But the idea is this, that you are light, that this meeting isn't special without you having a place to go and an opportunity to share light. Now, here's how I always interpreted light. Whenever we can give a sermon on light, I would always feel like, oh, I got to be really extra bright somehow. I don't know. I got to smile a little bit more, or I got to be really nice, or I don't know what thought might be going through your head. But let's just get on the same page right now and understand that the Webster Dictionary definition of light is this: light makes vision possible. That's it. Told you, you're not going to get a lot of rocket science from me tonight. Light makes vision possible. Think about that. You can't see. It's impossible to see without light. And our job is to help people see. That's it. I want to help you see. And I got to tell you that I don't care how long you have been in the church or a follower of God or whatever term you want to call it, you run dry over time. And I'm going to be very vulnerable and very honest with you, because that's the only way I know how to be. The last 6 months have been pretty dry for me, been pretty dim for me and my family. And I go through these struggles because I feel like I see God shining brightly in my ministry, and sometimes I don't see him shining so brightly in my home. And I want desperately for my family to be led well. And I'll be honest with you, over the last 6 months, there have been periods of time where I wasn't sure what the next thing was for our family. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do or say or lead or what conversation I was supposed to have with my kids. I got five teenagers. I wasn't sure how to encourage my wife. My wife is in a season of work where she cries a lot because she hates her job. Hates it. She wants to quit. She talks about it all the time. I don't know how to lead that. I don't know how to help her. And I've been in a dull spot. How about you? How about you? Do you know where you're going next? How many of you are confident you know who you're going to marry? How many of you are sure of the job that you're about to land? How many of you know where you're going to live the next 30 years of your life? It's pretty uncertain for you too, I'm guessing. And so I think we all need light. And the scripture is full of definitions of what is the source of that light. And I'm going to look at three very simple scriptures tonight. And the first one is this. Is that it's in Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." God's word. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Now, before we go any further into the scriptures, let me just help you understand before. I'll probably forget later, so I'm just going to tell you right now. The way that you help people see is you help them understand and see their path. It is not your job to be the person with the bright lights in their face and say, "You need Jesus." They will freak out, okay? And they will punch you in the face, and they should. We do not lead people, we do not lend light to people as your mother lended light to you when she woke you up on a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. You know, and she pulled the shades up and the lights on and she starts singing and yelling at you and what. That's not how we bring light to people. What we do is we bring light to people by showing it on the path, by the path ahead. And a lot of times people are scared. A lot of times people will have a wide open path and you can see it. You can help them understand. Hey, go for it. You got, from what I can see, it looks like you've got an opportunity to go for it. And they need some encouragement and they need some wind at their back. And you say, you can do it. You can pass that test. You can get through this thing. But sometimes you might see their path is blocked. And oftentimes it's in the form of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? And you can all see it. Isn't it funny how everyone can see it except them? Like, oh my gosh, like, this is a train wreck. And everyone's like, "Ee." Yeah, it's nice. And it's not nice. It's like, somebody's got to share light. Someone's got to say, actually, let me share with you the roadblock that I see. Let me share with you how I see this carrying out. If you continue this behavior or this relationship or this pattern, you are probably on a road that's going to lead here. And I know very well that you want to be on a road that leads here. Be the light. I think sometimes, I do believe this phrase that there is lost people, but for sake of tonight, I don't want to think about people as lost as much as I want to think of people as blind. Can we be light to people? Whether they know Jesus or not, whether they're believers or not, whether they're struggling or not, that we would be able to help people see. I would think that would be an awesome gift that we can be to everybody on this campus, regardless of their affiliation. That we would be people that would help people see. Light makes vision possible. Okay? And the first source of that light is what we just talked about here. It's the Word. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I can't think of this verse without thinking of an experience that Ben Miller, who's just leading worship, and I had when we went to visit our three ministries in the Philippines. Now, you might not know that some of you are new. Encounter actually has three ministries in the Philippines, and we get to visit them this next summer. It's going to be awesome. And on one of our trips, when we were there, actually before this whole thing was official, that we were going to be together with them, we had this trip. And while we're there was 15 to 20 Filipinos that decided that they wanted to travel with us, and they went up to this place, the highest point, I think, in the northern Luzon area of the Philippines, called Mount Pulag. Now, it's above the tree line, so it's quite a hike. And we drove as far as we could over rock and terrain, and it was pretty crazy. And then we ended up sleeping in this little hut. And we ate some gross food, which is just kind of par for the course. And then it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone woke us up. And Ben and I looked at each other, and we said, "It's the middle of the night. What do they expect for us to do?" "Well, we're going to hike. We're going to hike to the peak, because it's such a nice view at sunrise. It's the middle of the night." And these guys come out, and I was like, "Do we have flashlights?" And they're like, it was an afterthought to them. It was an afterthought. "Oh, yeah, I think some of the..." I think I'm being generous. I think there was two, maybe three. And they were like dim little pen-like lights. And like, let's hike the mountain. Like, yeah, great idea. So we're hiking along, and I'm telling you, I can barely see the person in front of me. It's all I can do. I'm holding on to them. We're hiking along, and there's just enough light ahead that I can barely make out the foot in front of me and where they stepped, and I step where they step, and we just kind of went like this on up the mountain. I have no idea. I have no idea what's to my left. I have no idea what's to my right. All I can see is the path, and the path is super narrow. And I'm following this narrow little path as I go, and I hear these jokes along the way from these Filipinos. Heaven, one step to the left. I'm going to keep my eye on this foot, right? And we get up to the top of this mountain, and it's a beautiful sight, and it's awesome, and I'm tired, and we're heading back down afterwards. And we're hiking back down, and I'm like, is this the same path that we just took up? There were parts of this path that I was scared to walk on because I wasn't sure if I could muster up enough courage to tightrope this area, because I just know heaven's one step to the left. And it was scary. I was freaked out. And I thought, how stupid were we? First of all, it was my first thought. How stupid were we? We're going up with barely any light, but how important even the little bit of light that we had to keep us guided along. I think we live in a world of, you know, on this campus, you know, you got the blue lights everywhere, and you got the street lights everywhere. We got our computers on at night. We just don't know what darkness is. Much of our history understood darkness way more than we do. We've had artificial light hitting us 24/7. It's something that we do not quite grasp. This verse is a pretty hard verse for us to understand. It was a chance for me to see firsthand how important a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path was. And as I think back to me going through college, I think of certain verses that kind of came my way. I wasn't a Bible scholar by any means, but occasionally somebody would mention to me a verse, and one verse that really came to me was in James, where it says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God, and he'll give it to you. And I was like, okay. And I took that seriously, and I started praying for wisdom. God, give me wisdom in this situation. Give me wisdom in this situation. And I believe that verse spared me so much pain, spared me some tumbling of down the proverbial mountain in my college career, because I was able to have just enough truth to keep myself on the path. That's all we're asking. Isn't that important to you? You want to stay on the path? You want to just be, I'm not asking for us to be Bible scholars, and I'm not asking for us to be all preachers or anything like that. What I'm asking for is I'm hoping for you to keep your feet on the path where God wants you to go, that you wouldn't fall. The word's a big part of that. Second verse that comes to mind about light is, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is directly about Jesus. And I got a couple stories to tell you that happened to me this week. Stories of light. And I'm going to tell you, I think we all know, if I told you a story of light, of how Jesus intervened in my family, and I told you that story and how it happened 15 years ago, it'd be kind of a dim story for you. There is something about old light that fades. This is fresh light. This is last Wednesday. Told you my wife's been pretty frustrated. And my wife's really honest. It's one of her great gifts, and it's one of the things that if we're at a party, I'm like, honey, please, let's not be too honest right now. But she got really brutally honest last Sunday night. And she told me this later. She says, I went to bed and I was crying. And she said, I prayed a prayer. It was hard for me to pray, but she says it was honest. And I'm like, oh no. She said, I prayed this prayer. She said, God, I believe that you're real. I don't believe right now that you care. You ever been there? You believe he's real, but you're just not sure you believe he cares. And then she said, I need to see you this week. And she prayed it. She said, I want you to show me yourself. And the week before that, and actually the weeks before that, she prayed specifically for a certain area, data. Who likes data? My wife does. She wanted to get in the data area. And she's been praying, and she's been asking for that specifically. That's like the job she really wants. That area, and they've just for whatever reason haven't given her much of the attention that she needs in that. So she's kind of at her wit's end, and so she's been asking for that. And she's going through really all I can describe it as is really a living hell for her in the last 6 months. So she asked for that, and on Wednesday, a friend of hers, a friend of ours, that we only hear like through texting like once a year. And this woman has got the most unbelievable in-tune life with Jesus, sent my wife this text this week. And I think, can we jump around two slides to that picture, Jen? Yeah. We might have to get things dim to actually see this. Maybe you can't see it. But it says, everything that you are going through is preparing you for what you asked for. This woman doesn't know my wife. This woman doesn't know that she just cried the night before. She just knows that this was what she needed to share with my wife at that time. My wife gets this text, and she's like kind of taken back by it. We can bring the lights up a little bit if you want now. She ends up that very day, after really over 2 years of wanting to be in this department, getting two leads on that very department last Wednesday. I can't tell you anything else other than this. Jesus is attracted to your desperation. I know that. He's attracted to your desperation, and if you're going to be gut-level honest with him, it's okay. He can take it. Get gut-level honest, and here's the other thing I need to let you know. She hasn't, like, landed her job yet, and it might take another year, and she's going through a lot of pain, and you, this year, might go through a lot of pain. Actually, you will go through a lot of pain. That's just life. And sometimes I really don't like it when we're in the Christian world and we say, and then Jesus came and happily ever after. That's baloney. But there is something about him walking alongside and giving you little signs that you need, like this text, as you're moving through, that is preparing you for the thing you asked for. Everything that you are going through will be preparing you for what you asked for. Jesus is the light, the lamp of our feet is the word of God, but the light, the other light source is Jesus. And I can't totally tell you how that all works. I don't have it all figured out. I think a lot of it's a mystery, and a lot of it I just sit back and say, I don't really get it, but I do know this truth. Whenever I'm closer to Jesus, I see stuff. And when I'm not close to Jesus, I can't see Jack. Sorry, Jack. Third scripture, we'll go back a slide. I'm jouncing all over for you, Jen. Last one. You are the light of the world. That's you. That's me. This is Jesus talking. Now, Jesus already said that the Word is the light. He already said he is the light. And now he's telling you. And he says this. He says, you are the light of the world. The town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's you. I told you I'm not going to tell you old light stories. I got another fresh light story for you. Tuesday. I told you I got teenagers. Teenagers aren't always making wise decisions. I got a freshman teenager. And she's got a certain relationship that I'm not particularly fond of. And I felt like for the week before that, I was the dad that was in the other room. Just kind of letting something happen. It just seemed too hard. And the more I felt convicted to come and address it, the more I just seemed blind. I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't know how to interact. And so I just kind of put it off until things came to a head on Tuesday. And it was kind of nice outside, and I walk outside, and I sit on the front porch steps, and I'm in anguish. I'm praying, and I'm like, God, I know I need to talk to my daughter today when she gets home from school, and that's going to be like in 5 minutes. It's like 3:45. And I'm like, don't know what to say. Don't know quite how to do it. She gets home, she comes over, and long story short, I just kind of start making conversation, and I'm like, honey, I got to talk to you. I got to say something. I want you to hear me out. I know you might not like what I've got to say, but blah, 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 blah. At the end, she was kind of like, so basically you're saying either you break up with him or I do. And I was like, yeah, basically, that's what I'm saying. And she handled it well, and it was good, and it was a great, great talk. And right after that, it was Tuesday, I get a text. I get a text from a dude that is really rough around the edges. He lives down in Georgia, and he's one of those victory stories. He's one of the people outside of my family that I see Jesus in a little bit, and he's just had a rough life, and a way of expressing himself is rough, and the things he does, the words he chooses, and the things of that nature aren't exactly what I'm used to, but it's kind of cool to see Jesus in the raw with him. And he sends me his text. Kind of cool. Can I just pull it out for you real quick? It's pretty awesome. And interesting that he writes this right. You'd think that I would have had it all lined up for you. And I don't have it there. Come on, Rick, where you at, baby? Right there, all right. And he says, Yeah, we had some follow-up text, too. That was really, really, really good. And then he says, this is what he says to me. He says, oh, yeah, he says, at 4:50 today. Now, 4:50, see, he's on Eastern Standard Time. 3:50 is when I was sitting on that porch. He says, I got this weird urge to pray for you today. Not for your ministry, not for Paulette, but for your kids. That they would have their hearts and their souls filled and their eyes opened. I got goosebumps. I was like, man, this is cool that this is sent at that time. You know what this is an example of? This is an example of a person who has Jesus in him that is the light. He is being the light to me. He is the light of the world. Rick was being the light of the world to me last Tuesday. Do you know where I got a message from about 3 hours ago? From Rick, saying, I'm in a really tight situation with my wife right now. I might have to go to a hotel tonight. Things are really tight. Can you pray for me? And I send him a prayer, and he says, I'm crying right now, and things are awesome. Thanks for those words. This was exactly what I needed. And here we are, five states away, being light to each other, because be the light means that we get to have a chance to take Jesus who's in us to be of Jesus to each other, and we get to show each other the light. We get to show a path. We get to help them out. Is that cool? This is what we want to be. We get to be that. Now, here's the thing. A lot of you have received the light through the Word. You've been the recipient of the light of Jesus, and you've been the recipient of the light of other people. And now it is time for you to be the light back, to be somebody to be the light for them. What I love about my relationship and the story that I've got with Rick is that it's a back and forth thing. So what I want to do right now is something that might just help illustrate what we're talking about. And I'm going to ask for us to kill all the lights. There's a couple things that I want to draw to our attention right now. First is this. This campus, it's dark. This campus is dark, and I'm not talking about just the sin or the opportunities that are out there that are dark in nature. I'm talking about a whole community of people that don't know who they're going to marry yet. I'm talking about a whole group of people that don't know their job yet. I'm talking about a whole group of people that don't know exactly what they believe yet. I'm talking about a whole group of people that don't know what their mark on this world is going to be yet. This is a very dark place. There is not a lot of light. But second point is this. Even in a dark place, where there's no organized light, you can still see it peeking through, can't you? As much of an attempt as I've made to make this a completely dark room, its light penetrates up in the top. You can see it coming through. You can kind of see it in the hallways on the side, our aisles. You can't totally block out the light of Jesus, no matter what you do. That's kind of cool. But the third thing I want to point out is this. How important, how absolutely amazing would it be if we got really serious about meeting around the Word of God? And that as we meet around the Word of God, that we actually get intentional about meeting with Jesus himself. And if we could be intentional about meeting with those, just those two, but knowing that it's going to not just be those two, but there's going to be other people there that have the light of the world in them, what kind of community that would be. And how cool would it be if you got to add yourself to that mix? Does it look a little different here now? We got a little bit of hope. Even the people up on the balcony, they can't even see these light bulbs. They're like, yeah, it looks a little brighter. This is a picture of what I want us to know that we're going to be rallying around each week. It is so crucial that we meet here every week, because every week here on the center of campus, we are going to lift up the Word of God, Jesus, each other, and you. The lights that Jesus talks about, that God talks about in Scripture, we're going to be rallying around. And I'll tell you, your light will get dim if you think you can do this on your own. And I don't care if you go to another ministry. I think there's a lot of good ministries on this campus. Knock yourself out. I want you plugged in somewhere. I do not care in the least where you go, but you need to rally around somewhere. You got to meet. We cannot give up the habit of meeting This is an important thing. And I want to make Mondays an important play, a more important time on your schedule. Willie talked about Monday's the first day of the week. It's something that he's excited about, just knowing that he's contributed that day and that this is the night that we get to rally. And as I close, I wanna just keep those lights there. And we're gonna have our own like fake campfire here, okay? Let's do that. I got a story I want to end with. And again, from this week. Remember the guy last week I told you about that punched me in the chest back in college? Well, I called him up this week. Actually, he called me up this week. He's a preacher over in Indiana, and we started swapping stories. And one of the things that their church really gets excited about is that they've adopted Liberia as their country. And they're bringing clean water efforts there all the time. And they're also bringing Jesus there all the time. And Liberia is a pretty war-torn place. Probably, they say it's the third poorest country in the entire world. In Liberia, there isn't even running water and electricity in many parts of their capital. This is a desperate place. And I know that you know of Liberia because the epidemic that broke out about a year, year and a half ago of Ebola was really centered there in Liberia. Now, Sam knew where they took all of these bodies, thousands of these bodies, and he knew where they burned them, the crematorium. And he starts telling me this story this week. And this was just about a month ago that they were there. And he said, I took my church to this place, and it's just this big wall, big encircled wall, big, I don't know, 100 yards round wall. And he takes them up there, and he says, do you guys know where you're at? And they're like, oh, maybe it's some battleground or something else. He says, no, this is the center of hopelessness. This is the place where every bit of evil and pain is represented, because this is where they burned all of the Ebola victims' bodies over a course of months. And as they come up to this Ebola crematorium, there were these guards that came up and approached them, and they were like, looking like they were pretty angry. And Sam calmed them down right away, and he just said, hey, we're here in the name of Jesus. And they calmed down, and immediately his group of people began to like spread out, and they just put hands on the walls. And they just started praying. And as they're praying quietly, all of these guards kind of broke down, and they kind of got quiet. And Sam had his hands on this gate. And this guard comes up to him. Can you just imagine? Think of this. This guard comes up to him and he says, I have a key. Do you want in? What would you say? Sam's an adventurous guy, but he was like, And somebody else spoke up and said, yeah, we want in. And he opens the door, it creaks open, and they slowly walk in. And he says, what you could see is pretty much what you'd expect. It was war-torn, there's rubble on the outsides. There's like little bits of like outhouses that were kind of tipped over and broken down. But right in the center was the blackest of soils, where they burned all these, the ashes of thousands of people. In the very center was this black, black soil. And he said, out of the ashes, he said, Pete, you wouldn't believe it, it was the most vibrantly green tree I've ever seen. And immediately, he says, I'm not coaching my team here. They just start singing. They're singing, "It is well with my soul." And these guards start crying because they're not guards. These guys are outcasts from their community because they were the burners and they were considered dirty and unclean. And this is where they got to hang out now. And these guys have tears in their eyes and they say, "Why would you as Americans come to this?" And without a bat in an eye, Sam looks him in the eye and he says, "Because we serve a Jesus that is here to triumph over the darkest of dark things. And we believe that he is just like that green tree who comes up out of the dark. And we're here to sing praises to him in the midst of this hopelessness because we believe there's hope and we believe it's for you." And they gave them Bibles and they taught them how to read to them and they all sang together. And as they left signs on the doors that said, "This is a new place. It's a place of hope and it's a place of light." Guys, this is nothing. ISU is nothing like that. But this is a dark place too. And just like these lights are the center of this room, I am asking and praying that we would make an effort to take full opportunity, the opportunity that's before us, the window of opportunity tonight, to say this Monday nights are going to be the place that we gather around the Word, we gather around Jesus, we gather around others, and I'm going to bring myself to this place because this is important. That is what we want to do tonight. And as we finish out tonight, I just ask that we would sing our guts out to Jesus, knowing, just like they did there, that as we sing his declaration of who he is, he shows up. And when he shows up, we see things we didn't see before. So let's stand and let's pray. And we can turn the lights back on. Jesus, I want to thank you so much for who you are and that you are light. Oh, we need your light. We need to see. I need to see. I don't fully understand how you work. I don't fully understand the Word of God, but I know it's alive and I know it's light. I don't fully understand your Son Jesus who died and rose again, but now somehow makes himself present to me this Tuesday. But I know he does. And I know it's true. And I know we need this time, and I know we need this place. And I'm asking, God, that you'd put something inside of all of us to say this is an important priority. Gathering around the light is important because we need to be recharged. We need a place to charge us up so that we have adequate light to share with the people that so desperately need us, the people we love outside of these walls. Will you please listen to us now as we sing to you, declaring to you that we need you and that you are the light and that you are sufficient. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.